far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
everybody but Dustin gets to talk about Digimon Adventure Tri, because Dustin doesn't care. Ha!
Okay, so welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. This week, it's just me, John, no Dustin, because he doesn't watch Digimon. And we're reviewing the Digimon Adventure Tri movie 1 or episodes 1 through 4, depending on which format we want to consider it. But basically, we watched it all on Crunchyroll, I assume. Daph, did you see the official subs? Did you watch like some fan sub?
Okay. I don't
worry, yeah, of course. So it's the first four episodes were released. At first, they were saying this was going to be like a ongoing series that would air on TV, but I guess they realized that they couldn't make it with quality animation if they're going to make it.
Sucks.
I think so. How long ago did they announce that they were going to make a series based off of Digimon Adventure?
I don't know. Josh, do you know?
I think it was it was August 1st, 2024.
Okay, so over a year ago it initially got announced a 24 episode series. Then Toei decided to release six movies instead of the TV series, part probably due to a combination delays for the animation, and also the increased interest convinced Toei that they could just release it in theaters and make more money that way. I believe is shown by the fact that it's grossed almost $2 million in Japan already, which is pretty solid, to my knowledge.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with Toei, when they do a weekly series, the animation, you know, because they're under, like, time pressures more than they would be with this, it tends up to be garbage. Like, with the other 90s nostalgia projects they've done recently, like Sailor Moon Crystal and Dragon Ball Super, yeah, the story is fine. It's by the original creators and everything. But the animation in both is, you know, widely hated internet. So they probably realized that was like that with this. I think I read that they actually went to do this some out of Toei production that they've outsourced it to or something, which explains the different designs in part as well.
Yeah. They made the interesting choice of in the U.S. market, they announced that Crunchyroll had the exclusive rights to streaming it, and they announced it within 24 hours of the official sub release being on Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
Which was pretty amazing on Crunchyroll's part, which I have to say. And considering how Toei is typically – they're generally regarded as being negative with trying new things and being uncooperative with the U.S. market. So I think that was a huge thing for everyone involved that – it got streamed like that.
Uh-huh.
And also they made the choice to split it up into four episodes versus one giant movie, which I think actually works better. It works better in an episodic format versus watching it as a movie.
Oh, I just watched the thing all the way through, and one thing I noticed was that they do repeat some footage at the end of episode 3 is repeated at the start of episode 4.
Yeah, I think it's just like how some of the stuff, how the dialogue is set up. I think it makes, the pacing, it makes a lot more sense to that it is an episodic thing. So I think it may be a rare instance where the U.S. actually got the proper version instead of Japan, which I think is really funny.
Maybe, but I think it's going to air in episodic form on television in Japan sometime next year.
Probably once they have, like, the last movie out or just about out.
Well, once Toei's finished milking the box office more right. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
overall, what did you guys think about this?
Before we discuss the film, I just have curiosity. How many of you, have all of you seen the show subbed before?
No.
I saw the original series in Japanese.
Okay. Cloud, along, have you...
along with Savers and Cross Wars.
Okay. So yeah, because I went into this, I know the English dub is significantly different, but I didn't know what the differences were. So it took me a little bit to realize, oh wait, that character's name isn't actually Matt. And things like that. Like, I knew they changed the names, I just didn't... It messed me up on the Digimon more so, I think. But
I thought the Digimon kept their names.
What?
I thought the Digimon kept basically the same names as in the dub.
I thought some of them were different.
I think the only one that they kept the Japanese name in this was Omegamon, and I think that was mainly because you have Alphamon.
But what was Omegamon called in the dub?
Omnimon.
Oh, I don't even remember him. When did he appear?
He was in the second movie.
Oh, okay.
Second and fourth, yeah.
So yeah, actually, what I'd say about Digimon Try is I probably set my expectations a little bit high. A few months prior, I had watched through the first two Digimon specials that aired in Japan. That were eventually butchered into the lovely American adaptation Digimon the Movie. But both of those were from Hosoda, who's done Girl Who Left Through Time, Summer Wars, which is totally not a ripoff of Digimon, but absolutely is, and Wolf Children. So I watched, like, those two specials were fantastic. Like, they were so much better in the... in the original Japanese version, and the animation, like, they restored it to 1080p. So it was, they were flawless. They were just really good. So I think between that and I really liked the initial preview art and the art style for everything. Like, Toei did a really good job marketing this series prior to releasing it. But I think I kind of forgot that Digimon is ultimately aimed at 6 to 11 year olds. So I think I came in expecting a little bit more than what I got.
Of course it is. It's a children's anime about monsters.
Yeah, so...
But at the same time, this is supposed to be aiming partially at our demographic, too, as people who, you know, saw the original Digimon when we were 6 years old and that sort of thing. But that's, like, indicated in, you know, how the characters have grown up a little bit. Of course, not nearly as much as the people who actually saw it when they were kids, but... And also, I thought it was weird how... They didn't include the O2 kids except for in the first scene where they
they're getting massacred.
Yeah, they got killed or something, or they and then no one ever brings it up again in the whole movie. Very strange.
Yeah.
Well, so actually, I think now that I think about it, I didn't actually notice this, but CG or someone had claimed that the new girl was, like, looking at a file that showed that they were missing or something at some point.
Yeah, there was a computer, like, screen that showed, like, the status of all the different chosen children. The 02 ones were listed as missing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Well, I wonder if they're going to appear more later or if they were, like, legit killed.
Well, the they released a poster for the second movie, and on it, one of the Digimon that's on it is Imperial German, so probably.
Oh, so that's like the first scene, and then after that they have a whole episode that's focused on showing all the Digidestined at school and how they've adapted to being apart from the Digimon for a few years, and Tai seems to be missing, or I should say Tai Chi, seems to be missing the Digiworld and everything, and he can't seem to decide what he wants to do with his life, and then Cool. Well, I guess I'm kind of skipping over it. There's some other stuff first before Kuwagamon, but there's like some romantic stuff that they, for some reason, felt the need to include, like a love triangle between Tai and Sora and Matt, or Yamato in Japanese. And Sora has to decide whether to go to a soccer game for Tai or a concert for Matt. And there's some other shipping stuff like that in here too, with Izzy and Mimi. I guess it's called Koizumi in Japanese. And then there wasn't really much for TK slash Takeru and Kari slash Hikari, other than TK is like going to a concert of Matt's, and he invites some other girl, and he asks Kari if she feels jealous, but that's like the extent of the shipping, I guess, is just mostly in the first episode, which I don't really feel like it was all that necessary. But if they want to show that the characters are growing up and developing feelings for each other or whatever, that's fine. That's a way to indicate that they're in high school now instead of being little kids like in the original show.
It wasn't particularly egregious. Like, the shipping was not bad.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't too excessive.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse, so...
Probably the one that had the most scenes was Izzy and Mimi. They hinted at that a few times. Izzy was, like, trying to buy stuff on the internet to impress her or something. Like, he developed some clothing-generating app or something to so that he would look cool in front of her or something silly like that.
Yeah, that was pretty thirsty.
It was prodigious. Yeah. Appropriate that killed the call.
I guess so.
Do you remember how Izzy used to say that in the Digimon, the dub? How long has it been since you've seen the dub, Daft?
Definitely, like, the Jetix era Digimon?
Yes.
Like, the original Digimon?
Yeah, they did.
Then, whenever Jetix aired it.
Okay. It's Is that when you first saw it, or did you see it on Fox Kids?
Oh, I saw it on Fox Kids. I still have toys.
Yeah.
Shit. I have toys from 02, I think.
I remember seeing it from the first episode on Fox Kids. Like, you know, that was when it started to become clear that Pokemon was such a big thing that it was going to influence the other shows that were airing too, and that they were going to bring over other things that were similar to try to cash in on it and have a variety of competing shows that were similar. Because then they brought in Monster Rancher and all these other shows.
I thought Monster Rancher predated it.
Maybe you're right, but it was like around that time.
I remember enjoying the fuck out of Moncoy Knights, I will say that.
Oh yeah, me too. I liked that a lot too.
Shout out to Moncoy Knights. I had toys for Metabots.
Oh yes, Metabots. And what were the other anime on there? I think they had a Transformers anime on Fox Kids at one point.
Yeah.
Transformers Armada.
No, that was on Cartoon Network. It was the one before that.
Is that robots in this?
Yeah.
Yeah. To talk about now, because new Transformers is also.
Yeah. Is that one not on DVD, right? The Fox Kids one?
Right. That's the only one that's not on DVD, and that's because the way that the the licensing deal worked out, Saban got distribution rights, and because then Disney bought Saban, so Disney's been sitting on that version of Transformers.
I wonder what Disney wants for trade, or if Hasbro just doesn't want to deal with attempting to release it, because no one's really has nostalgia for the original Robots in Disguise, I assume.
Well, Hasbro has released all sorts of obscure Transformers stuff. Like, they have released the ones that only aired in Japan. They released those with subtitles over here.
Wow.
There were supposedly some some really bad dubs that aired in some other countries of it that they didn't include for whatever reason. Maybe because the names were translated inaccurately or something, or they just were like too low quality to be released on DVD. But they released it in sub-only form here, and there were three different ones that they released like that. Plus, they've released all of the other series, Armada, Energon, Cybertron, the original.
Yeah, Disney must be holding it hostage for something that they want from Hasbro, but I wonder what they would want from Hasbro.
Well, didn't Disney recently try to buy Hasbro?
Probably. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Disney wants to own everything.
I hope not, because that would mean they would have to move their headquarters from Rhode Island.
Didn't you say you were going to go work for Hasbro?
I might consider it at some point. I don't really want to leave New England. And yeah. they do every Friday is a half day.
Oh, really? Do you know someone who works there or something?
I had a friend who interned there, actually. He was like a total bro, which I was really surprised by. Huh. He didn't really say much about it. I don't think he liked it.
Oh. Viku, he's like for a toy company and hated it.
He's not a geek.
Oh.
He's like, oh yeah, they all have toys on their desk.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
It is a toy company.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess we kind of went through the first episode, but what were your impressions on the start of this?
I thought they did a pretty good job introducing most of the characters and setting everything up. I felt like the introduction of the Digimon was kind of anticlimactic.
You know, it didn't occur to me until about halfway through the second episode, but I think the first episode of Try was like had the least number of Digimon of any Digimon episode.
Yeah, it was really slow to bring them out.
Because I think the only Digimon that appeared were Quagamon, there was a brief glimpse of that new cat Digimon, and then like the shadowed figure of Alphamon. That was it.
Yeah. What I read online when CG linked to a comparison between the movie version and the TV version was that they actually repeated some shots of Quagamon in the TV version that was on Crunchyroll to make it seem like it had more action than it actually did.
Nice.
Yeah. And this was not in the movie version, but it was like at the end they like reused some footage of Quagamon flying around that they had already shown earlier.
Jesus Christ. Toei is fucking shit.
And that was it, really, just Quagamon flying around, and then he starts wrecking stuff, and then they bring out Agumon and all the other Digimon, and for some reason they start like warping around, and they go to the airport somewhere, and then somehow they all get to the airport really quickly and battle Quagamon, and some stuff gets destroyed, and Tai Chi starts moping about it for the rest of the movie, and he's like, are we the problem? Are we responsible for what Quagamon did? And he's like afraid to fight whatever the evil Digimon is that shows up at the end, Alphamon or Omnimon, but he eventually gets over it, of course.
The thing about Tai Chi was I thought it was weird because like the rest of the characters are more or less like their old their personalities in the old series, but like just they're older now. But Tai Chi was like a complete 180. Like he used to be the one who just rushed in and whatever happened with the battle happened. Here he's like, oh no, we might end up killing someone on the sidelines.
I think this is sort of like when
that's bothering him now, but it didn't really bother him when he was younger. But I guess when you're older, you can kind of think more about things. You end up thinking more about things like that, like repercussions for other people. But I thought it was kind of strange that whenever they showed Tai Chi like having a moment of weakness, that he just flashed back to this one scene that happened earlier in Try, and not to like the countless amounts of atrocities that happened when he was a child. Like that killed way more people.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous that they showed the cell phone over and over and over.
I'm pretty sure the complete destruction of downtown Tokyo when they fought Venom Myotismon would have weighed more heavily on him than like one person getting injured.
Yeah, it's not even really clear what happened to the person, because at some point he says something like, what if someone gets killed? Like, it hasn't already happened, which seems hard to believe, because there's been so much stuff going on with the Digimon invading the real world before. Surely somebody got killed. I guess if you want to look back to the first series, there were points when he kind of beat up on himself for failing to protect others, like when Sora got captured in the pyramid by, I think it's called Datamon, and he couldn't save her, and then he was, like, angsty after that. And when Agumon evolved into Skull Greymon because of his shitty, what do you call him? Not a trainer, I guess. Digi-destined skills. And I think he was kind of like afraid to battle for a little while after that. So it is sort of consistent with his character, but at the same time, he is always out of the crest of courage. And I guess he does right. eventually summon it up, and he goes into battle finally after being all angsty for most of the final battle. And then that final battle happens, and it's really rushed the way it's shown. Like, they have, like, maybe 10 seconds of each form and no digivolving animation between each form. And I imagine if they're trying to get in new kids to understand what was going on, they'd probably be pretty confused, because I don't think they even said the names of some of the intermediary forms before they became fully digivolved for either Yamato or Taichi's Digimon, which can't be good for toy sales to not even mention which Digimon they're showing.
Right. Now, here's something that I wondered during the final battle there. Now, for most of this movie, whatever episodes, whatever you call it, I just assumed that the Digimon couldn't evolve into Ultimate, like, anymore. Or, well, not yet, but, like, during this final battle, like, suddenly Agumon and Gabumon can both digivolve to Mega Form. It's like, why didn't the rest of them do that?
Yeah, well, I think it's just that the writers only really care about Yamato and Taichi.
Right.
That's always been the case. They hog the show.
I will say, they really breezed through Agumon getting to his ultimate evolution. Like, considering how Toei is notorious for putting in padding scenes, they really didn't milk the evolution scenes that much, or digivolving scenes.
Yeah.
As much as I would have expected them to.
They actually called it evolving in this, even though it was digivolving in the dub. Apparently, in the Japanese version, they only call it evolving. If you're familiar with... I don't know if you were in the chats when Kuwabara used to always get all pissed off about Digimon Daff. Do you remember those days?
I know he confronted someone who worked with Digimon, or who worked on Digimon, or uh-huh. someone who worked on Digimon confronted
him. Yeah, well, what basically happened was he used to be extremely opposed to the dub, and he still is, and he's opposed to this too, because this has different voice actors than the original voice actors, who he has some sort of, like, deep emotional connection to or something. And so he considers any dub of Digimon to be terrible because it's got different voice actors, or even different Japanese voice actors in this case. So he refuses to even watch this. But one of the things he hated about the old dub was that they would change the phrases like evolve into digivolve, or digital world into digi world, or I don't know if digivice was used in the Japanese version. I think it is, but he gets upset about the use of digi for some reason, and he thinks it's like an abomination, and that he kept ranting about how awful Nimoy was, the main writer or producer or director or whatever.
Yeah, Jeff Nimoy.
Yes, and Nimoy saw his constant hate-filled posts towards him and decided to send an instant message to him on AIM. And he said something like, "Hi, I've been seeing your posts and you treat me like a monster, but do you know that I'm a real person?" And Cool was like, "Wow, hi, why are you IMing me?" or something. I don't remember. Some of it I posted on Toonzone, though, after Tony made a thread about it. And Nimoy basically had said something in the conversation to the effect of, "Okay, well, why don't you just watch the scan, the fan subs, and just leave my version alone and stop ranting about how evil I am when I'm just trying to make the franchise more accessible to American children." And I don't remember if Kua had any real response to that or not, but he obviously had really bugged Nimoy for Nimoy to single him out and message him.
Fantastic.
He used to post stuff like, I think this was around the time when Nimoy was announced to be working on the dub for season 4, which was, no, season 5, Data Squad. And Kuo posted something on Toon Zone to the effect of, I sat down and cried when this was announced. And he had, like, a big, long emo post about how upsetting it was to him that Nimoy was involved. And Nimoy's thinking, like, well, hey, I'm getting paid here. I gotta support my family. I'm bringing this anime to Western children. What am I doing that's so evil here that I have to be subjected to posts like this? So he, I am Kuwabara, but the whole thing was pretty funny at the time.
I do have to say, I will give Kuwabara credit that when challenged, like, in that situation, I think I would have had to have eaten some crow and apologized, but Tony just kept 100% with it, did not let his fan guard down, and just let it out, just like shit all over. And you gotta respect that. You gotta respect that he's gonna shitpost publicly and privately.
Yeah, that he called out Nimoy about this on Toon Zone and said, I think the title of the third was something like, so this just happened, and he brought it up in detail pretty much, and it was really something. I can't recall anything else like that ever happening with any of us. I guess we've had a few other people on the chats that work in the industry, but it was always by invitation.
We had, I think, Mike Pollock once.
Right.
And I think another time we might have had John Kay.
Yes, but he didn't say anything.
I know what Tom Ruger posted on Tibet.
We also had Goku and Gohan, the voices. Yes, yes. So we had Goku Vox and Kyle Haber, who I think was Kiba Vox. Yeah. I don't recall if he said much, especially not compared to Sean. Sean was on there quite a while, and he got to meet Shark, who he referred to as a Shock Jock.
What happened to Shark?
No, he's still around.
He's working. He's apparently working. Actually, I don't know. I'll check. I'm still friends.
I did hear that he dropped out of college. That was the last I heard from him.
Oh, yeah. He was at a community college for computer science and dropped out.
That's something, at least.
Last I heard, he had, like, quite a few jobs and was really, like, too busy to come to the chats anymore or something. But basically what happened was he stopped coming because he kept upgrading his AIM name every few months, and for some reason, the most recent one he made has never worked with the chats.
Yeah, the newer versions of AIM, it's really difficult to do group chat.
Yeah, I don't think it's even possible after, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years ago's version, because AIM is like trying to kill group chats, which is why we've moved to Slack.
Yeah, which is really weird that they would try and kill off group chats. No, like, I actually do use an older, I did use an older version of AIM. Because the newer versions flat out didn't support group chat.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't invite myself.
He's apparently working for some computer repair company.
Oh.
Is it called Easy Computer Repair or
no, it's,
Shark
on
Computer Repair?
It's called On-Site in 60. He might be like a, call up and, like, give people advice.
Oh, it's something.
Tech support, there you go.
Hopefully you can make enough money to take your sister out on a date.
She's moving in with her boyfriend, but
that's too bad.
So, Digimon.
Yeah. So I guess in between the battles at the airport and wherever the last one was, like a mall or something, there was some stuff in there too. Like they made some tracking devices that let them try to find Digimon, and then they kind of split up, and Matt and Ty got in an argument on a Ferris wheel or something, and
yeah, there was also that whole subplot with the government.
What was that part? I can't remember.
Well, that was how they got to the airport. There's now this government group that, like, tracks down Digimon, and so it's sort of like government group that was in Tamers. I guess this group, like, they get all their information from Genii.
Uh-huh, that's right. They did mention that Genii was involved. That's weird. They've never shown Genii in person in any Digimon thing, have they?
Yeah, they did. He was the old guy in the first series, and then in 02 he was young again.
Oh, I mean, I remember his like avatar as being an old guy, but he's not like an NPC, is he? He's someone in real life. So how do these guys contact him if they're not? I don't know. They're not Digi-Justin, right? These government guys. How did they contact the Digi-World?
From how it sounded, Jenna contacted, referred to as a walk-in. It, like, just dumped all this information about the digital world onto them.
Oh.
And then, yeah, so they formed a task force that, like, tracked down the Digimon and helped the Chosen.
I just found the phrase walk-in weird, since he's, like, digital. You know, how does he walk into a government office?
Well, he appeared in the real world in 02, so...
Okay. Well, I guess that's true, that the digital... people can come to the real world like Digimon can, huh?
Mm.
So they're pretty vague about how they're all coming through, though. It's just like some unexplained gate.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, but they, I think they mentioned that it's not like normal digital gates. It's like, because they showed during the battle between Greymon and Quagamon, there's like this middle dimension.
Yeah. So I assume there's some evil Digimon that's disrupting the barrier between worlds or something, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now it seems like it might be Alphamon, but I imagine there's probably something else to it.
Yeah. I didn't think the part with Alphamon was all that well handled. Like, whatever his motivation was or anything, he kind of just showed up.
Yeah, it's weird because in the trailers for Digimon Adventure Tri, there was a voice that was that was apparently supposed to be Alphamon, but he didn't speak at all. And
yeah, and what do you guys think of the new Digi-Destined?
Waifu babe.
Exists to sell merch.
Sure, both.
I mean, she's pretty much just the shy girl with glasses. You know, clearly has a crush on Ty, and
yes,
you know,
I mean, at least her personality is different from the other Digi-Destined, at least.
Sure,
that's true.
That's a plus, because they could have, like, she actually does have, like, we're able to say she's shy, like, we're able to name details about her,
right? Yeah, but
it may not be a lot, it may be an archetype, it's still something, so you have to give it that,
right? It's sort of like the thing with describing the Star Wars characters of the original trilogy in the
prequel. Yeah, exactly. That was exactly what I was thinking of.
I'm sure that there'll be more focus on her in the next one. She barely did anything in this one, so you can't really judge her too harshly based on like 2 minutes of screen time.
Exactly.
Right.
But what was the name for Digimon? I've already forgotten.
It's May.
Okay. Some sort of cat, right?
I'll get.
Yeah, it was me. Yeah. I see a ton of egregious furry fan art when I immediately put it into Google search, so that's a plus.
Do you have Safe Search on?
I can't tell. I don't think so. Yeah, I have Safe Search off, so yeah.
Well, look hard enough and you'll find it.
Yeah, I'm sure I could. I don't think I will, but I don't think I will choose to, though.
Oh, really?
Actually, it's kind of weird, because her character's name is Mako, and then her character, or her Digimon is Meikumon.
Yeah.
Is that, I'm assuming that's just like a terrible pun, but still terrible.
I think it's like a mix of Mako and Neko or something. I don't know what they're trying to go for there.
Yeah. I also think it's kind of lazy to make yet another cat Digimon as a Digi-Destin, since we already had fucking Gatomon.
Yeah.
So I think if there's one thing I really had to nitpick about this movie, is where the fuck is Joe during the entire proceedings of this film?
Taking exams.
Yeah, well, he's doing fucking cram school, but... And, like, he's like, oh, cram school is so important, da-da-da, but isn't, like, making sure the world doesn't get fucking destroyed so he can still go to school more important?
Yeah, well, I mean, I rewatched the, maybe it's different in the Japanese version, but I rewatched the dub when it was on Nicktoons a couple years ago, and Joe was always studying after they get back from the Digi World the first time.
Right. No, I get, like, that is a character trait. That's fine. I'm just saying, logically, that does not make any fucking sense.
That he would prize getting into a good school more than, like, whether or not the world gets destroyed by Digimon.
Like, no human being would legitimately...
Are you still there? Is after you there? Damn it. Are you guys back?
Yeah. Sorry, I think I'm hosting the call, so I think that may be part of it. I shut down uTorrent.
Oh. So
that probably wasn't helping.
Okay.
So it should be better now.
It stopped when you were saying no human was legitimately...
Yeah, no human would legitimately put cram school ahead of saving the world. But uh-huh. Don't you think the fact that he helped save the digital and the human world, wouldn't that be something where the government could be he can go into a good school? Yeah. Something like that, or his parents wouldn't be such hard asses on him to get into a good school.
Yeah, it is a bit weird. And for how much time he spends studying, you would think he would do a little better. He ends up failing at the end of the movie, I think.
Yeah. He can't just, I get, that's probably something that's relatable to people who, kids who watch the show, and it is kind of a funny concept, but he puts in all the effort and fails, but it just seems so unrealistic, even for, in a world that has digital fucking creatures and shit like that, that's the most unrealistic thing to me in the movie.
Yeah, It reminds me of this week's Super Dragon Ball Super chapter, where they're assembling the teams to fight for the Super Dragon Balls, and Gohan can't appear because he's going to an academic conference. It's I guess they're just doing this to provide relatable characters to Japanese school children or something. Even these guys who saved the world have to deal with this school bullshit.
It's just fucking. How do you guys think? What did you guys ultimately think about the art style and how it translated to the full series?
I thought it was okay.
I mean, it took some getting used to, but overall, it's fine, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting choice to kind of try and make the series look more adult. Because this still is supposed to appeal to stupid little kids, but. Because the color palette's really muted on the series.
Yeah, it's not very vivid in terms of the colors.
But yeah, I appreciated that they really tried to go all out and try something really different, try and make them look grown up and make the show stand out. I also really liked the initial preview art poster. In comparison, original series poster, I thought that was
yeah. Is it back? Okay, I think my audio is back. Well, now I forgot what I was going to say. Okay, with the continuity with the previous series, is O2 presumed to have happened as represented with the last few episodes and the epilogue and everything? Because they do show the O2 kids, and I think they even have Digivices. And from what I recall, I think even Kari and TK have Digivices, but... at the same time, they're also acting like Kuakamon is some big deal and that no one seems to really recognize him, even though Digimon have come into the real world multiple times, including, I think, Kuakamon. And there aren't, kids all over the world with Digimon, as far as I can tell, because it's just weird.
In one of the news reports played there, shouldn't it be... monsters had been seen several times in the past, and I think there was one scene where it might have been either Koshiro or Takaru. One of them was on on a website that she destined typing a chat room.
Okay, I forgot about that part. What were they saying on there? They were talking with other Digidestined?
Whichever character was, they were just typing in about Kuwagamon seeing Tokyo, watch out.
Okay, so the O2 stuff did happen, including the epilogue, which means everyone knows how the romantic stuff will go.
Well, right? I mean,
I think there's a chance that the epilogue ultimately might not happen, but I would have to assume that ultimately O2 is in the same camp.
Yeah, I think so too, but. It's just weird.
I think at least for now they're kind of pushing the O2 stuff off to the side.
I mean, I'm sure they don't really care about incorporating O2 heavily. I'm assuming they will at some point in one of the movies just so they can sell more toys.
Right.
But ultimately, I assume it really won't be focused on that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I wanted to comment. Oh, so would you guys, which would you place higher? Digimon Try or Pokemon Origins for like childhood nostalgia, like toyetic anime reboot?
I would say for the moment Pokemon Origins, just because it had more action to it and it was better animated, but at the same time, I wish Pokemon Origins had been like a 24-episode series like this will be.
Yeah, I would definitely agree that the main problem with Origins was that it was rushed to shit because it was only 4 episodes, and then like they spent 15 minutes on Mega Evolution Charizard, and that was fucking stupid. But I thought I think both series definitely have captured the spirit of the original better. But I will say that I think I kind of liked how Pokemon Origins kind of stayed completely true to the formula while adding some new bits, while Digimon just kind of it doesn't seem fully cooked yet. Which, I mean, we've only seen 1/6 of it, but I think it also had less pieces. Pokemon had less pieces to juggle, while Digimon has like 8 to 16 characters that have to be reintroduced.
Yeah.
Different conflicts.
I mean,
that's more difficult to pull off.
Both have characters who are like barely in there. From what I recall, Pokemon Origins, they had some gym leaders where the battle took place in like 10 seconds during a montage or something. And it was pretty rushed at times, but you know, it was pretty good too. I mean, they're both very different. I think Digimon is probably more ambitious than Pokemon, like trying to provide a little more character development and that sort of thing rather than just action. But at the same time, Pokemon Origins probably more nostalgic than this, because it was more like the original games, not really like the original anime, but they trying very hard to make it seem just like the games, but in animated form, calling the main character Red instead of Ash and that sort of thing, Blue instead of Gary.
Yeah, I think it was able to kind of do the best of both worlds, where it got to make something new. It made something new while also keeping the references in check to not offend anyone, while Digimon has to kind of maintain status quo while adding onto it. And there is just, with Digimon, there is just simply more character. I think more main character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't think Digimon has a very bright future in the U.S. They've been airing Fusion on only Nicktoons for season 2. Season 1 at least got to air on Vortex and ended like a week before Vortex got pulled from the air. And then season 2 is only on Nicktoons, didn't get especially great ratings. So it's
does
not...
Does Saban have the rights to Try?
It's not clear if they'll do even a season 3 of Fusion or not, but no, I don't think they have the rights to Try either. And they may very well just be done with it, or maybe they'll do season 3 of Fusion and then be done with it. But it seems like they're definitely just about ready to give up on the franchise, because I've heard that toy sales were fairly poor as well.
I mean, I don't think I've ever Digimon toys. Well, I haven't really been actively looking for this, but
you mean for Fusion or like ever?
Recently.
Okay. Yeah.
From what CG told me, I guess most stores that got Fusion toys, the toys ended up going right into the bargain bins.
I'm sure if I went to my local Five Below, they probably. But yeah, I think Digimon really got screwed over. I think it was a poor decision to go with Nickelodeon. When Digimon joined Nickelodeon, that's around the same time where Nickelodeon has gone on a dramatic slide in the ratings.
And the way they handled Fusion, it was just abysmal. They had it next to Power Rangers, and they aired the first 2 episodes just fine. Then after that, they took a week off and did that stupid Worldwide Day of Play shit. And then the week after that, they came back and they re-aired episode 2 again. And then they aired episode 3, and then they went to just having SpongeBob on in that slot after that, I think, and then it moved over to Nicktoons only for premieres.
I mean, in all honesty, when was the last time Nickelodeon had a successful, like, when did Nickelodeon have a an acquisition that was treated well on the network, like animated-wise, at least.
Is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles considered that?
No, because they bought it.
Okay.
You'd have to, like, the most comparable thing I could think of is Martin Mystery, which was, like, 2006. And that really didn't even do that well. That got shit canned pretty quickly.
What about, like, Power Rangers?
Power Rangers really hasn't been successful for them, has it?
No, not really, but they've kept it on there for, like, 5 years.
Yeah, but it's on, like, Saturday at noon, doesn't air anywhere else except Saturday and Sunday in shit time slots.
That's true. It's not majorly successful, so...
I mean, it's done well enough where it hasn't been embarrassed, or hasn't been treated like Digimon. But, you know, like, you think, like, Nickelodeon acquired Winx Club. Winx Club came and went extremely quickly.
Well, I think they had Winx Club on there for a while, but it was on, like, really extremely irregular time slots.
Yeah, well, that just... It never got off the ground. I just think Nickelodeon has a very poor history of treating acquisitions well.
Oh, they're terrible. Like, I remember when they had the new Speed Racer anime in the early 2000s, and I think they aired, like, maybe 8 episodes or something. And
was that on that weird Sunday block with BattleBots and Super Duper Sumos?
Yes, and Men in Black, the animated series. And I think Invader Zim.
Yeah, Invader Zim was on that. Invader Zim got shit canned there.
It's called Slam.
Yeah, it was like on Sundays, I think, which is
It was supposed to be their answer to Toonami.
Yeah. Well, I think if Butt Ugly Martians had been on Toonami, I think it would have been an international success, let's be honest. But Nickelodeon just has a very poor history of treating acquisitions. I think Digimon would have been better served to have stuck with Disney. Like, if they had been put on XD, XD hasn't treated a lot of the anime acquisitions that great. I know Naruto didn't go out very well. But, I mean, they've been consistently airing new anime series. Like, they got Doraemon, they have Yo-Kai Watch.
Well, with Disney XD, they did have, in the later days of Toon Disney, they had Digimon Data Squad airing, which was the show that premiered on there, and they didn't air that for very long. I think they had it on for a little while after they switched over to Disney XD, but only, like, under a year. And then they didn't air any of the other Digimon on Disney XD, even though they were on Toon Disney all the time the earlier season. Yeah. And they must have lost the license fairly quickly after they went over to Disney XD, or else they just decided not to do anything with it. But it would have been better, I think, if Disney had kept it and worked on it, continued making the dub. It likely would have been better than how it actually turned out, although it's not like Disney XD's dubs are all that great in terms of editing, but the Fusion stuff is pretty poor. But
well, Fusion was pretty much just a 90s dub done in 2013.
Yeah, I mean, Saban has not exactly changed their practices very much over the
years. Yeah.
And of course, the other place it aired was Vortex, which it showed up there in such the late period of the block that it was too late for it at that point to really become popular. That was the very twilight days of Saturday morning network cartoon.
By the time Vortex itself,
yeah, you have to wonder what Saban was thinking with some of this stuff. I guess they thought, you know, maybe the market has not changed much at all since we sold our block to 4Kids in the early 2000s, but they really miscalculated with everything they've done in the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they tried too hard to try to reclaim their former empire by getting Power Rangers, Digimon, a Saturday morning block.
Yeah, I think getting the IP was smart, because it's obviously hard to launch new IP. We've had numerous instances of IP being relaunched and successful, like Team. But trying to reclaim Saturday morning when they did was fucking idiotic. I get why they would want to, because then they could have gotten better ad revenue, but it was pretty stupid. Like, they should have prioritized toys or ad revenue. So they got fucked so hard. I don't even... What does Saban even do besides poke Power Ranger?
They do that Popples cartoon that won't shut up. well.
What is that? He's always blabbering about it. But
I thought that was fake.
It's some CGI show that's based on an 80s toy line.
And what's the deal with how he's always talking about how there are five episodes?
He's obsessed with the fact that there's only five episodes of the show because he was expecting like 20-something episodes, and it's like he's trying to use this as like it, well, like probably for good reason, using it as proof that Saban's like going under.
Well, I mean, I think it's like what happened with the first season of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Transformers in the 80s, where it's that they're trying to promote the toy line, so they made right. like a half-assed cartoon for a few weeks.
Yeah, I even told him that, and he was like, yeah, I guess probably.
He seems to have a... I mean, it's not like we should have like a really optimistic look at how Saban is going, but he seems to have like a really... unrealistically apocalyptic view of them, where he's always saying, like, I remember before season 2 of Fusion came out, he was absolutely convinced that it would never come out, and he was like 100% sure because it wasn't presented at some expo, and they just hadn't made the dub in time, you know? Maybe it's the same way with season 3, but you never know.
I'm gonna be honest, skimming through this trailer of Popples right now, the CGI is really not that bad.
Really?
For what it is.
I've seen, like, screen caps of it, and it looks horrible.
I just watched the official Netflix trailer, and it really doesn't look that bad. Like, the plot looks fucking garbage. Like, it looks like it's for, like, on Nick Jr. level, so I question why CG's watching it. I assume he's just watching it because they're anthropomorphized creatures, so he just wants to fuck all the furry shit. But otherwise... Yeah.
His other thing at the moment is that he keeps talking about how Saban hasn't announced the next season of Power Rangers that'll air in 2017.
Yeah, that and how they haven't announced Fusion Season 3. He seems really upset by both.
Well, how much the new Power Rangers movie's been delayed like 2 times already.
Oh, that'll never come out.
Well, I mean the movie.
I hope that'll never come out anyway. There's no way it'll be good.
No. Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to have, like, a really low budget, and that's already, like, worrying me.
None of the actors are, like, name brand, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's still not.
Well, yeah, who would agree to be in a Power Rangers movie?
And it's also coming out in fucking January.
Of what year?
2017.
It's probably not coming out in January 2017.
Yeah, that's what it got delayed to.
Yeah, I don't even think it started filming.
No, I doubt it.
Have any of you seen Glitter Force, the other new Saban property?
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw like 5 seconds of it, so I could take it.
Cloud, have you seen Glitter Force?
Yet.
Okay. What is your overall impression of it?
I've seen the trailer, but I really just like Smile Frictuous, so it's really hard to get me to actually look at the footage again.
Yeah.
Cloud, what did you think of Digimon Adventure Tri? Did you like it?
I liked it, but I thought there were a couple of things I had to gripe with. I thought Greymon going to the airport was stupid. Like, I thought when he left the first area that he went to the beach, and I thought, oh, he's doing that so no one will get hurt. Didn't just go to a busy airport for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, people got hurt. Well, what did you expect?
Yeah, that's what happens when you fight at the airport.
Then everyone keeps fighting and transforming. I'm like, are you actually going along with this? I think my other issue was the shippy talk got rather annoying, but other than those, I liked it.
Yeah, I guess some of the shipping was a bit excessive. The Izzy and Mimi stuff and the Ty Sora Matt stuff as well.
I don't know. Just personally, it felt like every other line to me, I'm just like, just want to tell him to shut up.
I heard people were already shipping the new character with Mad and with Ty and everything, even though the new character barely did anything at all.
I remember back when Cross was starting, that one girl named Nene or Nena, that girl with the pigtails.
Uh-huh.
She didn't even do anything to Ty, and everyone was like, oh my god, best girl.
Yeah, I guess on that show there was a lot of annoying shipping too, like her with Jeremy. I don't remember what his name is in Japanese, but the guy who does kendo, who appears in the first season and is basically just comic relief and then barely shows up in season two.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm surprised by the action to Trigo, but...
Yeah. Of course, the internet will get excited over just a character design, not knowing anything about what kind of character they'll actually be, like the Precure tweets you were linking the other day with the girl with purple hair that they were all excited about. Yes, I think I did hear that they changed some foods or something like that in the dub for Precure, and people were upset about Japanese pizza or something like that not being in it or something like that.
Well, I think it was something like that. They were like, why isn't it not Okunami, that really long word? Yeah, whitewashing the anime.
Yeah, and there were also some episodes that I think were cut entirely, I think I heard. But didn't you say those were only filler episodes or something like that that weren't very important?
Oh, yeah, like one was a comedy duo. Another one was Sambo Gallo's dad, but... It smiled. Character goes like, that doesn't stick.
Yeah. Is there even a big fandom for this show, or is this one of the shows that most of the people who watched it didn't like?
I've seen some people like it just because funny faces, but mostly nobody likes it.
Yeah. I wonder what made Saban choose that show to start with rather than the first one or something like that. Maybe more modern animation than the earlier ones or something. But I doubt that's going to be very successful for Saban because it's on Netflix only. And that shows about how low they can go. If they thought just Nick was bad, you know, to have it be a digital exclusive is pretty embarrassing. And it just shows they couldn't even get Nicktoons to air it or anything. And it seems that these old toyetic companies that used to be so dominant, like Saban and 4Kids, are in pretty dire straits. 4Kids can't find anyone to air Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc V. They were supposed to have it airing, according to the press release, in spring or summer of this year. And, of course, it didn't air anywhere in the U.S., but it started airing in Canada and Australia, and I think probably the U.K. as well.
I think what it says is, I mean, first of all, like, there's not a lot of company in the 80s that really, like, that started with syndicated series that really lasted 2000. Like, I think what it says, the model has changed. Like, back in the day, Cartoon Network got a lot of, got acquired series for stuff like Toonami because it did really well for them in the rating because they didn't have the budget or the shows to bring people to their network. But now when you have Teen Titans Go airings percent of the time and does well for them, and that's I think technically an original for them, mm-hmm. They don't really need like 4K Saban to, they don't need to pay them to put content on their network, especially when it doesn't show up, it doesn't bring in ratings or toy, and it doesn't help the toy.
Yeah, it's partially just a thing of children's taste changing because of technology.
Right. No, like if also, they made a Digimon app, that's why in theory Yo-Kai Watch could work because it is just tied into the 3DS and kids still have 3DSs.
True.
But it would be interesting what they should do is...
But Yo-Kai Watch's ratings have been pretty low. A trading card app for Digimon of Star Wars. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I don't think that Saban and 4Kids understand this. They've tried, you know, they've started to try to put these shows online, like the last part of Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal premiered on Hulu, but I think it must not have done very well, because I think by now, they must realize that they can't get anywhere to air Arc V, and they probably tried to get Hulu to do it too, and Hulu probably didn't want to buy it either. I think 4Kids may just be, you know, done in the U.S. market, now that they've gotten all of the old Yu-Gi-Oh! Series out on DVD fully, and all of Zexal has aired, and nobody seems interested at all in Arc V. Maybe they'll just release Arc V straight to DVD, but they should find some way to try to get the card game to promote it more or something. I don't know. They've tried airing the episodes at tournaments and stuff, but the reaction has been so negative among Yu-Gi-Oh fans to the product, because everybody hates the dub that they're putting out, and they refuse to change their dubbing style. Like they still have people doing Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonations and that sort of thing in every episode. There's like ridiculous accents and name changes, and if they're trying to appeal to like people who play Yu-Gi-Oh, then they would have to appeal to some older audiences who would want a more accurate dub. Or if they're trying to appeal to kids, I don't think it can even work, because Yu-Gi-Oh is so complicated now compared to when we were kids. The roles have become insanely complicated. There's, in this new show, there's like four or five different types of fusion, and there's like alternate dimensions and time travel, and it's all totally too much for a 5-year-old American kid who wants to watch that's not what kids want to watch anymore. You know, when we were kids, these shows were popular. Everybody wanted to know, you know, what's going to happen on the next Dragon Ball Z or the next Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh or whatever. And there's like a continuing plot. And nowadays, kids can't focus for more than 10 minutes at a time. So, you know, stuff like Teen Titans Go is very popular because it's like gag after gag, lots of visual humor, very easy to understand. But these anime, maybe they're good for our generation, but I don't think a way to make these popular anymore. Well, of course, there's so much, you know, internet use and like app use and that sort of thing by kids now that is like taken over a large part of the entertainment market compared with actually buying plastic figures like they used to, because you can get an app for cheaper and not have to go to the store, and it's more like fires more neurons in the brain or whatever, more stimulating to children than just a piece of plastic. And I think kids probably are less imaginative, want entertainment shovel fed to them in as simple a way as possible.
Well, and another thing is the freemium apps are so much cheaper, because I mean it's fucking free. So versus like how much, like buying those Digimon toys, how much do you think those must have been, like even before the clearance must have been really high? And then like I saw like a Megazord was like over $50 or something like that. Like the Megazords were between $50 to $150, and those weren't the collector sets. Those are like the shit tier, made to be destroyed by children one. And I think that's really, it's tough to compete with free.
Yeah, and the writing on Power Rangers is just, it's adapted so poorly to modern generations. It feels like it's still being written in 1994 or something. Like Megaforce, the writing is just cringeworthily dated in it. And when they don't adapt the writing style at all to either the older fans or younger fans, it's just who is going to watch this? Who's going to appreciate it? Of course, they're going to get low ratings, and maybe CG's right. Maybe they won't have much more on TV after Super Dino Charge airs. Maybe that'll just be the end of Power Rangers. There were talks like that would happen when Disney still had it, and they were saying, okay, this is going to be the last season, and then. Then there was some talk like, oh, maybe they'll make a cartoon of it, and then Nick ends up getting it, and Saban gets it back. But that can only go so long before they realize that's just not a strategy that's going to work much longer. I don't think it gets good ratings or anything like that. I'm surprised they've kept it on as long as they have, and they didn't stop after Samurai or Megaforce.
Well, the problem is they just need to keep like some. Eventually someone, if Saban does end up losing Power Rangers and if this new movie bombs, someone eventually will try and revive Power Rangers, and hopefully it'll be a company that has a better view of the contemporary media landscape and knows more effectively how to exploit children and their parents out of money.
Well, you know, there's also the company that's, I think it's Shout Factory, that started doing releases of the Japanese Power Rangers, the source material.
Yeah, but that's not aimed at kids. That's aimed at the kids that the adults that got sucked into the stuff as kids.
Right, but I mean, that, at least they know that they have like a clear market of who they're aiming for, and they do well enough that they've moved on to like the second season of Power Rangers, putting out the Japanese version of that. So at least they have like a clear target audience of and what they're trying to do. With Saban, it's not clear at all who they think Megaforce is going to appeal to, and I think it ends up appealing to nobody. Right. Same with Dino Charge and all the other seasons, Samurai.
Right. I mean, in all honesty, they really probably shouldn't be trying to appeal to the long-term fans and the adult audience. I really don't think that's terribly worth it. I don't really think Power Rangers is something you could make into high art.
Huh.
No offense to, I know some people in the chat watch Power Rangers. But I think if Saban really wants to make Power Rangers a success and keep toys on the shelves and keep them moving, they need to make sure that they actually appeal to kids, put a fucking app in, and just go to town, as awful as that is.
Well, they try to add stuff like cards to, to Megaforce. So they, like, whenever they attack, they, like, scan a card or something, like in Digimon Tamers, and then they, you know, do their attack move or whatever, and that's like their attempt to try to tie it into the merchandise. But right. That's like also kind of dated as well. I don't think trading cards really sell that well anymore.
Yeah, Cloud, what do you think of our suggestions for Saban to try and fix their company? As I know, you're someone who's actively follows the Power Rangers and Sentai scene.
Yeah, I think it was a few seconds ago I had to get out to get it run, so I'm kind of confused.
Oh, sorry. We were talking about, we were just kind of talking about how Saban has really screwed. Saban and 4Kids have been largely unsuccessful in the past decade. And so we were kind of talking about how Power Ranger, like, they need to be more, they need to appeal more to kids versus the long term audience. And also incorporate more, like, digital elements, like apps and things like that, to get kids on board. I wasn't sure if you had any feedback on that.
I could see that working.
But as, like, as a long-time viewer of Power Rangers, would you be offended if they did cut out more elements of the original series from decades ago at the expense of making the property a success, a continued success for future generations who could later find the original?
So, like, if they stopped jumping on Mighty Morphin and made it more for today's crowd, yeah, I wouldn't mind.
I think you may be in the minority of that for people on Ranger Board, but I think it is. I mean, Saban is kind of trying to do that by making this new movie with Lionsgate. I mean, maybe if this Power Rangers, if the movie is successful, maybe Lionsgate would want to team up with Toei and create, maybe give Digimon a wider release or try and make Digimon bigger. I know Lionsgate is really trying to become a bigger company. Like, they're doing theme parks based off the Hunger Games. I know, I think they're starting to produce some television too, so maybe they could team up with Saban to conquer the children's market, and Lionsgate might be able to help them with that.
I will say, I think if they did do a release of the Digimon Adventure Tri movie in U.S. theaters, the first movie, and maybe the others too. I don't know. How often are they supposed to come out?
I think once every 3 months or something like that.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a little too often, but I do think that if it was just maybe one a year or something, or one every 2 years, then people would come to see them in the theater in the U.S. Like, there's enough of a nostalgia crowd, I think, that it would do
well.
I am
kind of surprised that Toei didn't really attempt to get this. I know people who would have paid money to see that.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of anime movies here over the last few years that have been in theaters, and
well, I guess the Pokemon movies don't get a theatrical.
Right. The last one that got one, I think like a full release was maybe Pokemon Heroes, and after they got to the advanced series, they got rid of Misty and stuff. They went just direct to DVD and to television. But like I was saying, like stuff like the Dragon Ball Z and Naruto movies that I've gone to recently, they always have a pretty decent crowd, and some of them have sold out, and I think Digimon, it would do fairly well, but I just think you know, underestimating the adult fan base, although there is also the fact that they did give it to Crunchyroll, which does show that they at least take them, the, you know, otaku fan base or whatever, at least somewhat seriously, or else they wouldn't have bothered to license it to them and would have tried to get Saban to do something with it.
Right, and I guess for they must have assumed with the 15th anniversary that it probably made more sense to just market that to the older fan base rather than trying to get new people with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a very different animal than Fusion, because with Fusion, it's all new characters and stuff. I think that Season 3 is supposed to be a crossover with the earlier series, but the first two seasons were all very like self-contained, and I think they're trying to make that like a Digimon series for a new generation. But the way they handled it was to just dub it in the same way they dubbed the ones that they aimed at our generation originally in the late 90s, early 2000s. And it ended up being just a general flop, and it's not even clear if they'll dub the third season. So as far as I can tell, there's no chance that Try is going to get dubbed by Saban. And I'm not sure if they have the ability to, contractually, they have the ability to license a dub to someone else, or if Saban has the rights to do dubs for any Digimon media at the moment.
Right, which is really unfortunate that they're going to get screwed at.
Legally
it is too bad for people who don't know how to access this content or refuse to try the subtitled version or just really prefer the English voices. Like, I will say it was a little off-putting having not really watched the Japanese version to get used to that, because obviously Saban took some liberties, which is a nice way of putting it, with adapting some of the character traits.
Oh my god, that picture of the popples in the Slack chat, it's just so horrible.
It honestly, the CGI really doesn't look that bad. I honestly think that.
Why?
It should look a lot worse. I'm expecting like Sitting Ducks level.
Or Ducks. Alvin and the Chipmunks level.
Yeah, oh, Alvin and the Chipmunks is way worse. Oh man, yeah.
Oh shit, Samurai Pizza Cats is on Crunchyroll now?
Good for them.
Anyway, I guess we should get back on topic. But what else is there to really say about Digimon? I do think it would do well if it had a dub by someone like Viz or Funimation. And
there actually is a fan dub that's being made, a really well done fan dub from how the trailers they put out sound. It's going to be, I think, on YouTube. Somebody, I'll post links.
Okay, cool. And for other stuff that Toei has, I do feel they've kind of missed the boat entirely with the way they've handled Dragon Ball over recent years. Ever since Kai ended, really, the original Kai, and they were not able to get Funimation to release the final chapters with any timeliness whatsoever. It seems that Funimation was biding their time until Toonami came back and their license with Vortex expired, and then they could air Kai on Toonami. And then after Toonami airs the Android Saga next year, they're planning in 2017 for Toonami to air the final chapters with Majin Buu and just have it premiere there, with the DVDs coming out in sometime in 2018 or something. But that's such a long game that they're playing in such a time of instant gratification that by then everybody is going to have already seen the final chapters and moved on to Super. And in fact, that's what happened 6 months ago now. And Super has been going for months, and they put out some tease like they were going to have Super or something. They said they were going to say something about it at a con. And then at the con, what they said was, "We don't have Super yet." So what kind of idiotic strategy is that to tease something and then say, "Oh, actually, we don't have it yet." And
I would put that more, that must be on Toei's end for not wanting to license Super. I just
don't get it, but it seems like what they're trying to do is they're trying to not take away from their Blu-ray release of the original, I think, and just get people to buy that for a few years, and they're hoping it'll have like a staying presence in stores the same way the Orange Bricks did for so many years.
Right. Well, this goes back to Four Kids and Saban's issue. So Toei is trying to operate with a business model that isn't going to succeed in today's economy. Like Netflix streaming sites are starting to catch on in Japan. Like they finally got Netflix. So their model is going to be completely flipped upside down. And if they're going to pull shit, like we're going to ignore the US audience that like let's see how many subs, like let's see how Dragon Ball Super does a torrented, like if I sort by downloads,
I should mention that Toei shut down one of the biggest of the fan translators of Super, but what completely baffles me is that they shut down over 8,000 and they didn't shoot down Dragon Team, when Dragon Team is the group that put out a sub of Resurrection of Frieza like the same fucking day that they did in the US with the official release. And they got away with that, but over 8,000, which put out far less episodes of Super than Dragon Team did, and didn't put out the movie, got cease and desisted by Toei, when Toei seemingly has no intention at all of releasing Super in the United States. It's just totally baffling that they would do a cease and desist if they don't have any intention of actually, you know, making money off of it in the U.S. market. It would be one thing if they actually had a plan and it was taking away from a legitimate Region 1 release, but they have no intention at all, it seems, of doing it before, 2018 or something, when it finally airs on Toonami, by which point everyone will have moved on and no longer care.
Yeah, it's an absolute embarrassment.
It's just unbelievable. I don't understand why they didn't just have Toonami air the Majin Buu saga or something. It's not like One Piece where you can, if you skip a bunch of episodes, people will be confused because hardly anyone has seen the original One Piece episodes. With this, everybody has already seen Dragon Ball Z, so Kai is just like a redundant like re-edit of it. And it's like not that high of a priority to begin with. What they should really be focused on is Super. But if they're going to have Kai air, they should have aired something new instead of stuff that had already aired dozens of times on Nicktoons and Vortex, and just continuing to milk these same episodes for 5-6 years when there's only 100 of them.
Yeah, it's just an amazing fail on countless ends.
And it's also worth noting that Toei has been like two-timing with the license on Dragon Ball, where they, I think, still allow Nicktoons to air Dragon Ball GT, or at least they were in the early era of the new Toonami. And so we had this bizarre situation where sometimes on Saturday nights, Nicktoons would counter-program Toonami by airing other Dragon Ball Z movies to compete with Dragon Ball Z Kai. And they would have, on Nicktoons, they would have, like, the Broly movies airing up against, Goku versus Vegeta on Toonami. So it's like, what kind of company licenses out these shows in this way where they are competing against their own properties in a totally, like, half-baked, poorly thought-out way?
The worst part was some of those weeks they programmed Dragon Ball Z movie marathons. Ratings for those were better than
wow.
Well, I mean, I guess it's because there's more kids at home on Saturday nights than adults, or
yeah. But Cartoon Network is basic cable, and Nicktoons is certainly not.
That's true. It does reach less homes, which is makes it all very weird.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they still have GT.
Like, I don't know if Variety that, like, basically Cartoon Network, cable network, all that went, like,
right.
Everyone, and a lot of these guys are killed by streaming services or effect, and they're losing revenue. No one's going to buy that. So a lot of these, it'll be interesting what happens or so and how.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the bills have gone up so highly on, like, television that I think a lot of parents are probably canceling their cable subscriptions and just telling kids to watch things on the internet, because everything that you can see on TV, you can see online, too. So it's, like, redundant to have two packages for basically the same thing when it's like a tough economic times.
Exactly. It just doesn't make sense. Like, if you are a parent who isn't a total idiot, you can easily just get the content that the kids want, and it's better than watching TV where you're going to be subjected to numerous commercials. I mean, even streaming, you're going to see less commercials.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception, I guess, of Hulu, most of these sites are commercial-free. Like, you don't have to deal with Netflix.
It'll be really interesting how all of us look out in the U.S.
Deft, do you think that the Star Wars is like an unequivocal success for Disney? I guess this is only kind of tangentially related, but I mean, this is an example of successful marketing towards kids, it seems to me, because there are so many toys they put out for it, and so many different interactive cross-brand marketing. There's the Disney Infinity toys that they have of the new Star Wars characters. There's the little, like, whatever the hell the new robot's called that, like, interacts with your phone and stuff. And there's, like, Hot Wheels Star Wars. There's just a tremendous amount of merchandise for it. And it's a case where they seem to actually understand demographics, unlike these companies we've been talking about, where they seem to be not only appealing to kids, but also trying very much to get the older fans back in and have, like, some sort of cross-generational appeal to it. It seems to me that this is a huge success for marketing, but even this, people are so pessimistic about the modern state of commercialism for these sorts of properties that there are people on CEO supposedly and TV or whatever on 4chan who say that this is a big failure for Disney and they never should have bought Lucas for however many billion they bought it for because it hasn't immediately outperformed expectations in the first week or two by 10,000% or whatever in order to make back the whole sale within the first 2 weeks or whatever insane expectations these guys have. It seems to me like this is going to be a big moneymaker for Disney, but the internet has to be pessimistic about every single thing that comes out.
Yeah, I mean, to compare something to what Disney has done with Star Wars is, I mean, this is virtually unprecedented what Star Wars has been able to do. I mean, Star Wars is a extremely marquee property with high, like, visibility. Like, most people know what Star Wars is, have seen something Star Wars related. So, I mean, it's not like Saban really has the resources nor the brand awareness for any of their properties that Star Wars could. But, I mean, we've seen a number of different properties rebooted over the past few years. I mean, Nickelodeon seems to have done immensely well rebooting TMNT after 4Kids put its stamp on it.
Well, even the 4Kids TMNT was fairly successful for quite a few years.
It still stayed on. I mean, there were toys in its cell.
It only really started to have problems when they started skipping seasons and changing character designs constantly and became very, like, incoherent tonally. But the first few years were pretty successful, I think. And mainly the problem was the toy company and 4Kids and the original creators all couldn't really get along and decide on what they wanted to do with it after a certain point. But and I think probably something like that inevitably will happen with the Nick version. But up to now, I think it's been pretty successful because they have it on Nicktoons all the time. It's like as much as SpongeBob or more, maybe even more on that channel these days.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just, do you have any input?
Huh? Oh, he wanted to know if you had something to say about Turtles.
Oh.
What? I remembered what John was saying about Megaforce using the cards, and I just remembered it could have been worse. Did you want to ask me something? Sorry, I was distracted.
Just about the new Turtles show is pretty successful on Nicktoons, right? We were talking about, you know, how it's a more successfully managed retro property than the other shows we've been talking about.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how well it's doing on Nicktoons, but I mean, for Nickelodeon itself, it's been doing fine. I think it's one of the few shows that's like been performing over 1.5 million viewers each episode.
Yeah, I saw they made some sort of strange spin-off cartoon that aired a few months ago that was more traditionally animated, called Half Shell Heroes.
Yeah, they made a special to promote their super deformed toys. That special, I think it was more.
Yeah, I just mean 2D.
Yeah, it was. I best described it to somebody as a fever dream. Like, maybe that was just because I was like half awake when I saw it, but it was just,
it felt like sort of like the first episode of, Back to the Sewers, where they are traveling through time and they, see some dinosaurs and stuff. It was a lot like that. Sewers. Yeah. I finally saw that, Nicktoons aired it, for the first time a few weeks ago, and I hadn't seen part of it before, only the first few episodes, and it did feel like it was a very patched together kind of thing compared to some of the other, like the earlier seasons, which were much more coherent. I think some of the episodes were even taken from Fast Forward, weren't they? Like the Incredible Shrinking Serling felt like a Fast Forward episode.
Yeah, that's definitely written Fast Forward episode. Trying to remember, I think the one where they into the MMO game, I think that was also a Fast Forward episode that was rewritten.
Yeah, that one was pretty entertaining, though. I kind of like that. It's very dated, but still.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was very strange in general, especially the first episode that I mentioned. It feels as much like a fever dream as the new Half Shell Heroes thing, because they showed this scene where there's a bunch of shredders fighting, like in the near future, and you get the feeling like, okay, this is leading up to something, right? Like in the season finale, they're going to show how all these shredders started fighting each other, and then it's just never brought up again, and the only shredder that appears is this shredder that has been uploaded onto the internet and then returned to the real world through a digital portal. But they never show, like, the multiple shredders fighting, and it's like, what kind of continuity is this?
I think that was supposed to be the plot line for the following season, but I don't know why they were, like, leaving hints for an additional season when the fact that Back to the Sewers was made in the first place was a miracle in and of itself.
Yeah, like, so how did this work? Because at the time it seemed like, Fast Forward was not really doing very well, and then it lost the 4Kids TV block that it was airing on. How did they persuade, Kids WB to air this season? And it seemed like just a very strange thing overall, because there were so many. I read on the Wikipedia article that there are several different versions of it that were proposed before they could even agree to anything, and it seems like just overall a very, very troubled production. It's surprising they even got out as a final season.
Well, it wasn't Kids CW.
Oh, okay.
Kids running the block. The versions that were proposed, the discussion was between 4Kids, Playmates, and I think Mirage Studios also had a say. And like there were three different versions that were proposed before Back to the Sewers before they went with that. The first, I think, was like the Turtles ended up accidentally like going too far back and like, brought their toddler selves into the present. And it was like, you had two sets of turtles, one the teenagers, the other the toddlers, and I think it was Playmates that like really wanted that one, but like 4Kids and Mirage were completely against it because it was a terrible idea.
Why there was the Incredible Shrinking Starling episode where they showed the toddler turtles? Yeah.
And
sounds like chaotic.
Yeah. I think well, 4Kids was definitely all four. Then I think Playmates was as well. And then, or maybe it was, no, I think 4Kids only, but then Playmates and Mirage shot it down. And the third idea was basically, this was a Playmates idea too. I think it was, they wanted to continue the show like as is, as it was before, but they wanted to bring in like all the 80s mutants and make it like almost exactly the same tone as the 80s cartoon. And I think 4Kids was all for that too, but then it was Mirage that was like, no, we're not doing this crap. And then we got Back to the Sewers.
When I watched Back to the Sewers, I noticed that it was really amazing how much it could get away with compared to the actual anime that 4Kids dubbed, because there are, you know, Japanese kanji in it, and I'm pretty sure it mentions death at times, and in general, it seems like, I don't know, maybe it was because Mirage was more involved with it than 4Kids, but it was always surprising to me how much Turtles could get away with the bystanders and practices.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to, well, yeah, and even with Ninja Turtles, they even pushed it too far with the Insane in the Membrane episode.
Well, I thought that what happened with that was that it was approved by the original censors board or something like that, but then someone died and someone new came in or something like that. But I guess maybe that is part of why they started to change it. Well, what season was that? Like season 3 or 4?
Season 4.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's part of why they started to change it to more of a comedic tone only, with how they moved over to, you know, fast forward, and it became all about comedy, toy promotion, and not as much about the, like, serious ongoing plots. And they even went as far as to skip the lost episodes and not air them for quite some time. I have to wonder if that was because they were concerned about the censor board not approving of the way that the show had been going up to that point.
Though, with that season, also the issue that toy sales were going down, so they went to skip ahead to next skin.
It's remarkable how untoyetic the earlier seasons were, that it was able to keep going when it was such a dark continuity heavy show that didn't really seem to have like a whole lot of, you know, bending over backwards for kids and toy sales and that sort of thing. It seems like the Playmates suggestion would have been able to keep it going if they had gone with that and started bringing in all the 80s characters, because I mean the 80s cartoon lasted something like 11 seasons, didn't it?
10 seasons.
10. Well, yeah, but
10 and a half.
And it only it only started getting shorter seasons and got canceled because of, you know, it started to change tonally in the last few years, and wasn't as much emphasis on toys, and, you know, I guess they're trying to make it darker and fit with the times of the 90s more rather than like the cheesy 80s.
They're trying to make it Gargoyles and Batman animated series, though to be fair, by the time of the later seasons, the only Ninja Turtle toys that were coming out were just like repaints of the main turtles themselves.
So are there not toys of Lord Zedd and all of them? Drake, that's right. I think Lord Zedd, because it's such a Power Rangers kind of ripoff of a name. No. I was surprised that they brought Lord Drake back in the new season. Have you been watching it?
I'm still kind of need a bit of time to kind of get used to this, to the new Lord Drake, because it's like such a departure from the original.
Yeah.
This one's more like some kind of weird, like, sentient colony of insects.
I haven't seen the final seasons in quite some time, but what was the original character's origin in contrast?
He was like a alien conqueror that, like, had sort of... I guess the best way to put it, like, how he looked physically is, you know the Trade Federation alien Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty much, he looked a lot like that. But he also had the voice of Tony Jay, who voiced Frollo from Hunchback and Megabyte from Reboot.
Isn't he dead now?
Yeah.
That's a shame. I wonder who's going to replace Mako on Aku for Samurai Jack.
Have we gotten information on exactly what that's going to be?
No. I think what's going to end up happening, we're going to get the next information on Samurai Jack at the Cartoon Network up front in February.
Isn't there a Q&A soon? Maybe people will ask Toonami some details.
Friday there's Q&A.
Hopefully they'll answer something. I'm not optimistic.
No, if past Q&As are any indication, they're just going to keep asking about subtitle airing hentai.
Yeah, they're just going to make fun of anyone who asks about Samurai Act, probably.
They always just say whenever anyone asks about anything specific, they're like, we can't talk about our acquisition. They're generally very useless, the Q&As, from what I recall. When they did them on Tumblr, they would answer the same questions over and over, and I don't know if they're doing it because they like feel obliged to respond to their fans, or if they just enjoyed like mocking people, because a lot of the time the answers seemed like increasingly exasperated and rude, and they kept insulting the people asking them. And
a lot of the time it was very apparent Jason DeMarco was doing the Q&A.
Yeah. He has an extremely abrasive personality, which I don't think reflects well on the block when he does so much social. Well, I wonder what the content is going to be like in terms of, how violent it's going to be. The original, they could get away with quite a bit for the time, because the people that Jack was destroying weren't like flesh and blood. They were usually robots, so you would see oil splatter everywhere instead of blood.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to, like, podcasts with people who worked on Batman animated series, and they just be like, when they go to the censors about killing a robot, they're like, yeah, we don't care, just be, like, you can do whatever you want, but as soon as you kill a human, they flip out. So yeah. I'm assuming they're gonna, I'm pretty bullish on they're going to.
I mean, they've been doing that going back to Voltron, making the villains into robots in censorship so that they can keep some of the violence. That's like a time-honored way of getting around bystanders and practices. But I wonder if they're going to continue with that for continuity purposes, because, Aku has a bunch of robots going after Jack or whatever, or if they're going to have Aku be, like, I don't know, more mystical and have Jack, like, fight more of his incarnations or something. You know, sort of like how Naraku would always send incarnations of himself out after Inuyasha or whatever. If they try to make it more like that kind of thing, or if they'll try to have him, you know, endlessly slicing through spider robots like happened in the original series.
Yeah.
Because there are some episodes where he does fight Aku, where like Aku transforms into a more human form. And I think the last episode Toonami aired was episode 50, where Jack battles Aku on the most recent airing, and then they had to cut it off because they lost 3:30 to 6, and this would be a good show to have in one of those later hours to keep people up, the way they used to have like Tenchi GXP premieres at 3 and things to Bleach at 3. I feel like now they don't really care about 3 a.m. anymore, and they just put on like reruns of Attack on Titan for the fifth time or whatever. And it wouldn't be surprising to me at all if they lost 3 a.m. before too long, and they just put on another comedy show at that time slot. Yeah, except it wouldn't help the shows after it, because there aren't any shows after it anymore. So,
oops. Yeah, I mean, it's still awesome that we're getting any new content from Jack. I see
that Tim Box finally made a comment about...
Thank God.
It was surprising, because I sent him a message on Facebook about it, and then a half hour later, Billy Bob sent him a couple of messages about it, his brother Billy Bob, and he didn't respond to either one. And then like a few weeks later, he made a comment in passing in some much longer post about how America was going to go the way of Rome, or about people bullying him, or about some unrelated topic like that. There was like an in-passing reference to Samurai Jack in there or something, but at least he's aware of it and wasn't just ignoring our comments. Because I'm sure he'll very much enjoy this, because he's been talking for years about how how this needs to be made. And he seemed to think at one point that he was going to be the one to make it with Gendy in film version, of course, because everything with him has to be an epic theatrical film.
Well, I think this. Well, if you think about it, I mean, Tarkovsky is back at Cartoon Network, presumably, because he is involved with the project. And with today's state of media companies being consumed by one another in giant conglomerates, in theory, the stars are aligning for Tim Box's production, where 20th Century Fox, Disney, Warner Brothers, all the studios do end up producing his massive epic, because they're all owned by the same company. And with the creative teams in the right places, with the creative people in the right places, maybe Tim Box can get his Dexter's Odyssey finally made. I mean, there's Dexter's Lab comics, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I've read, like, the first 5 issues of the IDW Samurai Jack, and it's fairly good. It was supposed to be a continuation of the story of the original, but from the first arc, at least, it was, it seemed to me to be just another set of stories where Jack will hear a rumor of a way home, and then it won't pan out, and he'll remain stuck in the future, and, you know, largely self-contained with each arc unrelated, which makes me wonder if that's the same kind of formula they're going to stick to with the animated series, the new one. Or if there will be more continuity between the episodes with like actual story arcs. I think the longest story they did in the original was just like 2 episodes.
Do you think they would actually go for it?
If it had an actual dub, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's never going to happen because of Saban. They're going to be, like Harmony Gold is to Robotech. This is what Saban's going to be like to Digimon, and they're going to block the stuff they won't translate themselves, and from coming out on, you know, on TV, unless Toei just decides to sever ties with Saban after they're done with Fusion, by which point maybe all of it will be out. And I mean, if Toonami aired it, how do you think they would air it? Like, in movie form or just one episode a week?
I would have to imagine. Well, I guess they're resistant to movies.
Right.
But either could work. I'm sure they would. I would assume they would wait. I mean, by the time someone dubbed it, enough of the episode would be out where they could air it as a.
Yeah. I mean, I think because Saban hasn't even indicated that they have season 3 yet. If they are going to continue with it, that it probably won't be until sometime like late next year that 3 would come out, or maybe even 2017. So by the time Saban is done with Fusion, it's likely that all of Tri will have aired, unless there's some sort of massive delays, which knowing Toei, it's pretty likely. After all, they delayed Sailor Moon Crystal over and over and over, and it ended up coming out bi-weekly anyway when it finally did come. Right, even with all that time, they still couldn't fix the animation fully.
How long?
We've got 2 hours and 8 minutes, so
this is a pretty good time.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about like the context of, you know, Digimon and everything pretty well, and it was probably long enough to delay Geek Nights by over a full hour, which is good.
Wait, is Toon Radio
still? Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, Toon's still up. Good for Mason for still having the money to keep this wonderful operation alive.
If you are still keeping track of which episodes have been airing, recently he's aired the Space Dandy reviews, season 1 and 2, and other than that, it's been all of our recent episodes mostly that he's been airing.
Was that on the Dandy?
I don't think so. I think it was just me and Dustin.
We should Toon Radio. It's better than nothing.
Music to read comic books by is the official motto.
Wait, what is it?
Music to read comic books by.
That is a great slogan.
Yeah.
Oh man, because when I'm reading comics, I want to have wacky sound effects in the background and like weird musical interludes.
Yeah, or listen to people talk about things not related to comics.
Yeah.
I guess we have reviewed like a few comic books, but it's been years. I think we reviewed the comic where Peter Parker died.
Spoilers.
Yeah, and Flashpoint, but those were like 4 years ago.
Which is terrible.
Is that the new like reality shaking event where they're merging the Ultimate Universe and the main universe and all of that?
Yeah, it's supposed to be Marvel's answer Flashpoint, but it's so bad. And I actually read most of the Ultimate End tie-in, which is supposed to be like the big grand finale to Ultimate Marvels, but it was one of the worst comics I've seen. Like the last issue was like every page was a page spread and like the last several copy panel over and over, and then like there was a 2-page spread that was one big wipe. And the artist...
Is that after the universe was wiped out or something? Or...
Yeah. But it was like the final battle was just like a bunch of panels that like on one page they were all like visible, and then the next 2-page spread like they started to fade out a bit. The next 2-page spread they were almost gone, and then the next one's a big wipe.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about a dead medium that haven't adopted well to the times at all, comic books rank pretty high up there.
This was Brian Michael Bendis, by the way.
Of course.
I really like how DC's solution to the fact that Marvel is shit-kicking them in the monthly sales rankings is to double their output by releasing multiple titles bi-weekly. Oh. That is just such a great idea. And by great idea, I mean a fucking awful idea. As an unabashed DC fanboy, I really question most of DC's management between their how they've been operating their TV series, which by that is none at this point, with the exception of Teen Titans Go, which I don't hate, but it's still... Like, Marvel has a TV universe and animated TV continuity, and DC doesn't. Their movies, what they're trying to rip off of Marvel is very, their cold concept is very poorly done. And their comics line, the New 52, largely failed, I would say.
Well, and the New 52, I haven't finished reading Future's End, but I'm looking into the series. I've been reading it, and it's like they are trying to, in the most convoluted and incoherent way, wrap up the New 52 thing. This happened like last year or earlier this year or something. And I think at the end of it, they ended up, restoring a lot of what had gone before from what I've heard. And actually, they were, destroying all the comics that they invested so much in. And every time DC does something like this, people get upset, but it seems like the New 52 went really much too far, and the idea was, I think, always just to get a short term sales burst and hope that the people would stay on, and so they went as far as selling the first issues at a loss. In a lot of stores, they would let people buy all 52 issues for $1 each or something like that, in hopes that they would like what they heard and stick around and become regular customers. But it didn't work at all, because the actual quality of the series was so poor. The retroactive continuity to try to establish a new universe was really poorly done, and they didn't, for example, with Superman, they had said that yes, Superman was killed by Doomsday, and then he came back to life, but it didn't happen quite the same way as before, and that's all they said. And then later on, a few years later, they have Doomsday show up, and they don't have any flashbacks really explaining what happened the time before. Doomsday is like in the Phantom Zone. He's supposedly been put there by Kryptonians. So how did he get out? How did he fight Superman before? Why is he back in the Phantom Zone? Nothing is really explained. It's all very haphazardly done, and it seems like they really didn't think it through. They just thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if we had a lot of new issue number ones, and then everybody would buy it because it would be issue number one, and once a year let's do an event where we make everything have a holographic cover and change the title or the number on the cover, and then everybody will buy it. We'll have a zero month and a villain month and a future's end month. And I don't think any of those months were particularly successful. And I just don't know that DC can dig themselves out of the hole they've gotten themselves into, because they have such a reputation of constantly changing the writing teams mid-story, total creative incoherence, and really poor output. But it's not like Marvel is really much better at this point. I feel like both are, they must be subsidized by their corporate parents to a huge extent in order to stay open. And it's a question of how long is Disney going to tolerate Marvel screwing around, and Warner going to tolerate DC screwing around and wasting money hand over fist. I almost think they're just keeping these open just to promote the movies. But those movies will do fine without related comic books. You know, the movies are like the only superhero thing that's popular anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, most of the people seeing the movies aren't really going to go back to read the comic, too.
We've had this period since Iron Man of, you know, they put out a Marvel movie every year, multiple Marvel movies even, and it hasn't translated into the Marvel comics becoming hugely successful with the average moviegoer.
No, I mean, Marvel has been struggling. Marvel sales are down as well. I mean, didn't they just go off the Ultimate Universe? They're doing a bunch of crazy shit.
Like Josh was just talking about, but it's, like you were saying, it's terrible. You know, all these massive crossovers, everybody knows that all the fans hate them. And that they haven't really done any good ones. Well, I mean, there are maybe a handful that are okay, but most of them are just blatant attempts at getting people to buy all of the different books. You know, do a crossover between Spider-Man and some lesser book that nobody reads, like Moon Knight or something, just to try to bulk up the sales of one book or another to keep them all going, but it's like so irritating to the people who read the regular books that the regular story gets interrupted by some supposedly earth-shattering event that'll just be retconned again in a few more months when they come along with the next massive universal retcon. And it's all so obviously so temporary in every case that no one can really get too impacted by these massive status quo changes or whatever that they try to get people excited for, and it's generally so poorly done. Where they, for example, on Future's End, practically every issue is drawn by a different artist and has four writers, and some of the artwork is barely beyond like a sketch. Like the face will literally just have a couple of dots for eyes and like a big gaping mouth, and it'll pass for professional artwork. And I guess this is what happens when you have to put out a weekly book. But when they did 52, that was fairly well done. Everybody kind of liked it. It had a lot of character development and stuff. But the recent weekly series that they've done and are just terrible. And you can't really tell a good story when you have that many people working on it, and when you have so many external factors you have to consider. Like, you have to consider that you're leading into a situation where you're going to have a massive retcon, or you're going to have some other story that someone else has already written that maybe you haven't read. Like when they did Countdown, and they were trying to promote Final Crisis, and they ended up killing off the New Gods in it, and the way they did it in there was totally inconsistent with how they were killed off in the first issue of Final Crisis. The way they do these weekly events is just a disaster, but they keep doing them. I don't know if maybe they do sell better than the regular books because everyone feels obliged to read them because it's going to tie into what they read, but I don't think anybody actually likes most of them, so it's just ridiculous that they keep doing this over and over, pretty much nonstop since, I don't know, Secret Wars and Crisis on Infinite Earths 30 years ago. They keep doing them, and they keep getting worse and worse, and it's just I don't know how much longer they can keep doing this failed business model before their corporate parents say, enough is enough. You can't keep doing these insular events based on this ridiculous amount of continuity that only people who've read thousands of comics can read and understand, when these characters are supposed to be accessible to, like, a broad audience. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to make them accessible to a broad audience, so maybe they should just fold up.
Right, and that's the exact problem I have. Is the New 52 was a great idea, because it did wipe out a lot of continuity. Like, it did wipe out a lot of continuity to long-time readers, but the goal for New isn't really to placate the long-time readers. It's to get newer readers in, especially when I assume the average age for someone who buys comics must have creeped up over the past year.
Oh, yes. Like, when you go in a comic shop these days, most of the people in there are in, like, their, you know, 40s or 50s or something.
Right, yeah. Like, I never see little kids or, like, kids my age in a comic shop. And if they are, they're not there to buy comics. They're there to buy, like, magic cards or something. But, yeah, and like, DC could have gone that route. They could have made the comics more accessible. But, I mean, like, I was reading Justice League, and I think within 15 issues, they had already done a crossover of Aquaman, which I happened to have been reading, so it didn't offend me. But then there's another crossover, like, I had to have read Firestorm, and I've had to have read Justice Canada, like, all this shit that I didn't want to read. And it's just like, and, like, I'm out. I haven't really touched DC Comics since.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always liked the Elseworlds books the best, because there is a beginning and end. You don't need to read any of these other shit books that probably suck or don't matter or, like, are a bitch to track down. Like, there is a start and a finish, and there's nothing, no other side things you necessarily need to read beyond having some general back information about what's going on. And you just, all these tie-in events are impossible to follow. And
yeah, like, because they did the Trinity War event a couple of years into it, where they tied in with this other Justice League book. They had Justice League, and they had Justice League of America, and then they had Justice League Dark, and they tied them all together.
Right. And kids don't have the money they don't have the money to buy all the books, nor the attention span to follow all of it. So that, like, Trinity War, in a way, kind of is supposed to appeal to the older audience, but the older audience doesn't really want it.
Right, because the older audience wants the old version of the characters, and they're never going to react well to these retcon versions.
Yeah, and unfortunately you can't have, I mean, you, like, in that, what DC did, you can't have it both ways. That's why I've always thought that the Ultimate series for Marvel made a lot of sense, because you keep the old continuity going, but you have a new continuity in Ultimates where you can have this new, or you, kids could easily get into the comic and still be into it, and, like, but, I mean, Marvel seems to disagree, since they fucking shuttered the Ultimate series.
Yeah, well, so. I don't know. I never really read the Ultimate comics, but yeah. From what I can tell, they had been killing off the characters fairly regularly, and I seem to remember them killing Peter Parker off there before they killed him off in the main universe and replaced him with a gay black Mexican. To try to cover all the demographic quotas. And then I guess they merged all the Spider-Men together in this crossover. I don't know if Miles Morales is the main Spider-Man now instead of Peter, but probably so.
Yeah, and so I think both DC and Marvel are struggling with this, more so DC, because their practices are, they're more desperate. But yeah, I just don't understand anymore. I think, like, with the advent of the internet, there's a lot of companies that are really going to struggle to transition. So it'll be really interesting to see in 10 to 15 years what the hell is still left.
Yeah, it is really something, the modern world we're living in. Not necessarily in a good way or a bad way, it just kind of is. But
I mean, I would say that ultimately I think the newer consumer model is better, because, I mean, look at the amount of access we have to all this content. And overall, it is cheaper to access legally or illegally. It is easier and more efficient to access content. But it is also, I mean, like, passing through those, getting content past the algorithms to make sure people see them is going to be a huge struggle for the smaller companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. But I think we've definitely hit a lot of interesting targets on our tangent, on our Digimon Turn Tangent podcast.
Let me find some closing remarks here. Okay, so first off, I've got a Chris Chan quote here, the new one that was just uploaded 15 minutes ago on the Quickie. It's either the stress from the working or publishing my books elsewhere or possibly a virus. Either way, right now I am feeling dizzy.
Pray for Chris Chan.
Yeah, and he also earlier today said, I just woke up from a dream. I remembered a couple of fun things. Marty McFly was telling me I swallowed a stranger. I asked, how did he do that? He said, I stood there, looked at the stranger, and I swallowed. The other thing was just a random thing. A woman said to her friend, you know who would be good in any musical? Irving Berlin. Have some more Z's to catch. Good night.
Wonderful.
And he got also suspended on Lulu, which was publishing his comic books because they decided that he was breaking IP rules or something like that, and they don't publish fan fiction, so he is no longer having his Sonichu comics physically published.
Yeah, I saw Chris Chan was looking to potentially release stuff for Amazon, because Amazon actually does have a official fan fiction, like, they will, you can publish fan fiction.
Bizarre.
That you can't sell for money.
Isn't that illegal, though?
Well, the thing is it's only for certain properties. Like, I know Warner Brothers in particular is one of the is a partner. So Warner Brothers has select series where you can release like a Supernatural fanfic, sell it, and Warner Brothers gets a cut of a profit.
Okay, that makes sense. But at the same time, I feel it would be embarrassing for Warner Brothers to put an official sanction on some of the fan fiction that might get out there.
Well, I'm sure they have a, like, this has no affiliation with Warner Brothers or anything like that.
Well, did they do, like, some sort of quality control on each issue before they allow it to be printed?
I feel
printed?
Like that must be too expensive. I think the general assumption is the content's going to get out there anyway. May as well try and make a couple bucks off it.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I doubt they really think too much about it. I think it's just a good way to exploit fan work.
I will say, though, that from a legal perspective, Chris probably has the advantage over Lulu in that he does have the copyright to Sonichu, bizarrely enough, that he managed to get from the state of Virginia.
Sadly, that is extremely true, but I don't think Chris knows enough to petition off it, but I mean, he technically does own Sonichu, that is true.
Yeah.
Has someone tried to get Sonichu in other states?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. But there have been people who have made...
Is that... Could someone supersede Chris in another state by trademarking or copywriting Sonichu?
Oh, could someone else use his content in another state and call it an original idea of their own?
Or at least be able to profit off.
Well, there has been fake Sonichu merchandise certainly made by other people besides Chris.
Oh, I'm not just saying Sonichu, but like in general, could you do that?
You can, as long as somebody doesn't realize you're doing it.
Yeah, so I'm sure someone will try and with Chris.
Yeah. I guess I have one more thing for closing remarks, which is to find Tony's tweets about Digimon, which were extremely upset.
Oh, he didn't like the new series?
Yeah, let me find it. What is his... Okay, Coolbar the Man, right? That's his Twitter?
Yeah. In the meantime, I will pull up a couple tweets from a longtime supporter, or someone the podcast has been a longtime supporter of, Peter Fay.
Oh, we should also promote Josh's blog. He said to promote it when he left. Cloud also left. He said, promote cartoonhistorian.hubpages.com for me.
I have to be honest. I've read blogs, and they're honest, and I've read a lot of fan content, like interviews, that are just total garbage that I just stopped reading. But Josh gets a really solid balance, being able to find interesting tidbits or factoids about the content, like its origin or impact, while also giving it a summation, the content that he's thinking about. I think it's a really good balance. Really enjoy how it's, and I generally every single article
he's been doing lately, history of Christmas animation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I learned from that article that there were multiple versions of the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer book.
Is that right? I haven't, actually been reading his blog, but what are the different versions? They have like edited out some songs in the newer, airings, right?
I think it's mostly it's because of the increased commercial time. They just like have overdubbed or cut some lines or overdubbed others. So like some scenes don't totally make sense, which is very interesting. But yeah, so definitely, cartoonhistorian.hubpages.com. That's our contributor Josh's, website. So for a, Peter Fay tweet, this is from December 21st. It's bad enough that I pay $9 to $10 per pound at the buffet, but when they don't carry any ziti or lasagna, .. a frowny face, # ugh.
Okay, Peter. So I found the Tony tweet. I'd kind of like to fast forward 3 weeks in time so that I can avoid all of this talk on the molested version of I'm already getting depressed and angry just sitting here thinking about it. No piece of entertainment has angered me half as much as Try has. I just hate the fact that it even exists. And this is so pathetic, but I'm sitting here at 1 a.m. crying over how Toei has dicked me and all the other fans from back in the day over.
What is 1 a.m.?
I can't escape this Try bullshit no matter what. Ugh, it just keeps ruining days. Being streamed doesn't change the fact that Try is made solely for people who hated or were apathetic toward Digimon Adventure.
What is YM?
What do you mean?
Oh, he said he was at YM. Isn't that like he was at some place crying?
Oh, let me see here. Let me reread the tweet. I think I just mispronounced it. 1 a.m.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I heard YM. I thought it was like a...
No, 1 o'clock in the morning. He was staying up all night crying about Digimon.
Oh, I like the idea that he was crying in, like, a restaurant or, like, his workplace or something.
Oh, well, actually, I'll get to that part. This is going to be a long day at work to get feeling like this is an actual... Oh, I hate my for being so... But I have progressed at all.
I would say shuffle.
Watching old Digimon openings and endings. This is helping me cheer up some and calm down from my craziness earlier. And then tweets to other people. The completely changed voice cast, mostly. That's the big reason why I'm not going to watch Try.
Well, no shit, they changed the voice cast. They're all older.
Yeah.
Some of them probably can't do teen voices. Like, they can do squeaky teens or squeaky kids.
Actually, I think that they kept the actors for the kids and changed the Digimon actors.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like you,
actually kind of weird.
Like you, I haven't actually seen in Japanese, so I couldn't care less who these are. But for some hardcore fan who's watched the times, like, it's like upsetting it. And then he says here, someone says, I've been meaning to ask why you dislike Try so much. He says, mostly for the complete recast of the entire cast after falsely leading the fan base on. It also looks like generic otaku bait. And then he says, I fully get that from the outside. I look like a crazy person. It's mostly just an emotional connection thing.
Oh boy, I feel pretty bad.
That's the main thing. And then there's another tweet where he actually mentions the Jeff Nimoy incident, and he says that it happened in 2007, which sounds about right. I probably have the log somewhere, but maybe not. I'll try to find it for Dustin for the show notes, though.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Okay, so do you have any more Peter tweets?
Yeah, that was actually going to be my closing remark. I just had it.
You've linked to some pretty gross ones, but I don't know if it's been since like the last podcast or...
Yeah, I'll leave for my closing remark. December 15th. If I said I wanted to party with Asian women, would that be considered racist, sexist, or both?
That reminds me of Mavericker.
Oh yeah, God! I forgot that guy existed. We should have Peter on for a year of 2015 podcast. Let's just have him talk about events that happened during the year.
What I was thinking was recently. I was thinking, wouldn't it be a good thing to have him on for a weird news segment and have that old music playing that he used to play?
to just have that as like a mid-podcast pick. I think that would be very different. I think that would differentiate you guys. I mean, you guys already talk about like anime, like it's already anime of yesteryear, so like the old timey music would fit in great. I think it'd be a great addition. I think I'm gonna have to appeal to Zionic to make sure he puts that in.
We did have him on a podcast once when we asked him about the hurricane.
Yeah, that was I think a high watermark in this podcast. High watermark meaning like the subway in New York was covered with water from the hurricane.
Do you remember the videos he put out during the hurricane? Yeah,
that was some good content. Peter needs to make more video.
He had been calling himself a homeless person during the hurricane because he didn't have electricity for a little while. And I remember he made a video where he wasn't able to use the elevator, so he had to walk up the stairs. He was treating it like the hardest thing he'd ever done. He was like panting, and then there was the part where he went to the camp and to get rations, and it was acting like it was Auschwitz or something, like it was some unspeakable conditions at the camp because they weren't giving him enough food, I guess, to maintain his 300 pounds.
But yeah, I gotta say, what I think would be a great idea for a podcast is I think we should just do a year in review. We'll let Peter pick the events to talk about that he thinks summarized the year. I think it's a great idea.
Well, the part I'm not sure about is, did Peter actually do anything in 2015?
Well, no, I just want him to cover news events in 2015, the ones that he thought was important.
Well, we could ask him about Donald Trump.
Yeah, like, he can bring up stuff like that. Like, I'm sure he'll talk about how, like the big thing for him will be the fact that all his attractions are getting removed for Star Wars.
Oh, like, so what's happening there? What got removed at the theme parks?
Yeah, but, like, Peter, to talk about the news events in 2015 that he thinks matters. Uh-huh. That's what I'm really curious. And we can chime in about some events as well and get his take on it. Probably, like, things he didn't even know about. We can talk about anime. I think it'd be a great podcast.
Well, isn't it true that Peter said something recently on Twitter, like he wanted to be on a podcast to practice his speaking skills?
Yeah, I think he did. I can't recall that specific tweet, but that did sound familiar. Let me see if I can chime that up. Let's see. Yeah, I can't immediately find it, but that does sound like something he would have said.
Because he doesn't talk to people anymore, except drag queens.
Well, are you accusing drag queens of not being people, John? How dare you?
That video where he was doing a comedy routine on the drag queen show was just amazing.
Oh, that was a comedy routine? I thought that was a legit thing. I thought Peter was a pirate.
Well, I assume he was trying to be, and just like, well, I mean, it was funny in a way, but I don't think it was funny in the way he intended it.
Very true. I think I missed this tweet. Hold on. I don't think I can get the proper tone on it. But the following is without any, is in all capital letters and no spaces. And it says, "Fucking son of a cock ass bitch cunt shit in the balls of a mother," which, not another, oh, "a mother fucking shit eating ass cock with a side of ball ass McShit fucking fuck ass cock shit, free exclamation marks, hashtag I ran out of cuss." So I think this would be, I think Peter would be a great contributor to this podcast.
Oh, you know what? We should get him and CG on at the same time, and that would be something.
Oh, no, that's too much.
Well, don't you remember that Peter thought that homosexuals were a myth?
I feel like he's probably changed that. He's probably nagged on that over the years, you would think.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Yeah, you never know. He did tweet about how his mom thought he was going to hell, so he now thought he was going to go to hell.
What?
Where was that?
Why did she say that?
There's obviously no context for that.
Ugh.
This is a really good tweet here. Hold on.
Doesn't he have a blog where he talks about this stuff in more detail?
He has a DeviantArt.
Well, isn't there like a live journal or something that he has, or a...
Well, that was, he might have a live journal. I know the journal entries I've been reading were on DeviantArt.
Okay.
Epiphany. This is an entry from 1 week and 5 days ago. I think I figured out why I'm not getting as much notice as I'd like on here. Not because of a lack of artistic activity, because looking through each of my past journal entries, they somewhat tend to veer off towards the... Nobody wants to read that kind of one. My sister once told me to follow kindness and positivism. What sort of examples of these exist out there? No comment. Mood frustrated.
Oh. Well, I mean, Peter is a very negative guy.
I think he's self-aware.
Did you find any tweets that said, I'm depraved?
Oh, that is what my real send-off.
Yeah, because that's the definitive kind of Peter network.
It truly is.
Do you remember the time when he found out that he was the only one using the hashtag?
Yeah, it looks like none of them are still here. Let's see. Yeah, nothing shows up for depraved.
Well, it's I'm depraved.
Oh, actually, hold on. This just in. This is a tweet from 7 minutes ago. This is says, what's a guy like me got to do to get some sex in his life?
Okay.
So I think that would be a very good viewer question, or listener question more so.
Yeah, that's a Peter tweet if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, actually, hold on. I realized the error... The reason why I couldn't find any I'm depraved tweets was I wasn't looking through his replies. But I still don't find any. That is actually very surprising. Maybe he got rid of them.
Well, he used to send them to just random women.
Yeah. I'm sure he still sends messages, interesting messages to women.
Well, I seem to remember we found his OkCupid at one point, too.
I forgot that did happen.
But then I found it in the log a few months ago because someone asked for it, and it was no longer active. It had been deleted.
Oh, maybe he found... I guess that tweet suggests that he hasn't found true love, but...
Yeah, that's of course the case. But it would be something to talk to him again. I haven't talked to him on Skype in... when was the hurricane? Like 3 years ago?
Four. Over four, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was 2011.
Okay. Yeah, well, that would have been, I think, maybe the Cool Kids Club or the Cybernauts cast.
Yeah, one of those.
But it was a long time ago. I think 2011, it was still Cool Kids Club, but maybe Cybernauts. But I'm pretty sure that it was not one of the episodes with, I think it was just me and Zionic talking to him.
Definitely.
Were you on that one? Were you on that episode?
I must have. If Peter was on, I wanted to have talked to
him. I remember make sure that
he was okay.
I remember that Viku was upset that he was not included, but he had been like offline for a few weeks. But that was the last time I think I talked to Peter. And before that, we had talked to him a few times, but he would always end up talking to someone else on the phone, and he wouldn't mute his mic, so he would just totally disrupt the call with his one-sided conversations, which we couldn't understand what he was even talking about.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
He's totally oblivious.
Yeah. So I think we're actually going to... I think we're going to enter the after-hours segment of the podcast as former contributor TY wants to join in.
Okay. TY said, wants on here?
What?
On Skype?
I told him to add me on Skype. Okay. So his messages were... Are you guys still recording? Because I want in. I'm drunk as dick. Okay, let me see if I can still Greg in Skype. So I'm very curious if how that will come out.
Do you want me to stop recording?
Do you want to stop recording?
I don't know. It could be funny.
Yeah, no, you may as well record. I just really want them to come on and ramble for a bit because I really want to get through.
Okay. Digimon
monsters, Digimon are the champions. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions. Change into digital champions to save the digital world. Digimon.